Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 206. And in today's episode, we're loosely looking at a theme of change, of movement and change, of moving and change, and to moving forward and going forward, and to making changes in our lives. And I'm going to begin with a blog that I wrote in April 2018, so just a few months ago, and it's called Dream Groups. Do you keep your dreams to yourself? Do you sometimes share them with a partner, friend, or dream therapist? Or do you share them with an inner circle, a dream group, perhaps? I received an email this week asking me how to set up a dream group, a request that stirred my memories and took me back to the very early 1990s when I was writing my first book about dreams. Some of the people who had volunteered to take part in the research for that book suggested getting together to meet each other, and before long the get-togethers developed into a weekly dream group held in a bookshop on the Gold Coast here in Australia. The structure evolved organically to suit the needs and desires of the group, and soon attracted newcomers, so that we were, at times, rather a large group compared to more conventional dream groups where numbers are generally capped at 8 or 10. During the 2 years that I facilitated the dream group, I witnessed so much love, support and compassion as the group shared and explored their dreams and discovered how they related to their lives. Friendships flourished outside the weekly meetings, and the community continued to thrive after I moved to Brisbane a couple of years later. One lovely summer day, the dream group decided to hire a bus and come up to Brisbane to take me out for a picnic in the Botanic Gardens. Yes, such was the size of this group that they filled a bus. Dream groups are hugely varied in approach and format, but at heart they're about meeting on a regular basis with a handful of other people to share dreams and seek insight through exploring their possible meanings together. A quick internet search will give you a range of different ways to organise and run dream groups. Most advise that the best approach is to give each dream a space to tell their dream and then invite the other members to ask the dreamer questions about the dream, helping to clarify the dream and how the dreamer felt in the dream, and then to leave the dreamer free to draw their own conclusions, perhaps sharing these with the dream group, perhaps not. Most dream group formats suggest meeting for 2 hours, weekly, two-weekly, or monthly, and perhaps for a finite time of, say, 10 weeks or 6 months. 2 hours gives everyone in the small group time to share a dream if they wish. Larger groups often operate a system where some members share dreams one session and others share theirs the next session. Dream groups can be led or facilitated by a dream expert, such as a dream analyst, a dream therapist, or a dream worker, or organised more along the lines of a community meet, either with the same leader or with a different member taking the leader role each session. The leader's role is to ensure the group's agreed guidelines are understood and followed, and to keep everyone on track. When a dream expert is leading or facilitating, an extra dimension can be introduced, since the expert can guide the group's experiences through additional questions and subtle techniques and practices. There are those who advise against setting up dream groups unless you are an expert in dream work, cautioning that it is dangerous to open up to the unconscious without professional guidance and support. Now, while it is preferable for the leader to have a good foundation in dream work, I feel that as long as everyone is clear on the dream group's guidelines, there is value to be gained in meeting and sharing dreams in a caring group environment. We should, after all, feel as comfortable as our long-ago ancestors did in talking about our dreams and inviting perspective through the eyes of the community. Whether or not we take that perspective on board is a personal decision, and one the community should value. But more often than not, such sharing helps us to both broaden and deepen our vision of ourselves, our life, and our options. It's wise to have recommendations on hand for those who feel they need professional assistance in working with emotions and issues raised through sharing a dream. Maybe contact details for dream therapists or counsellors. Recommendations might take the form of a list of professionals included in the dream group guidelines that each member receives before the dream group meets for the first time. If you're trained in dream work and you're running your own dream group, you might consider offering private sessions for those who need extra assistance. You might like to choose a book that each member reads and refers to, and perhaps open each session with a discussion of a method or chapter. Of course, I will recommend my book, The Dream Handbook, structured around exploring common dream themes and suggesting dream alchemy practices you can do. Once you've got your dream group underway, you could occasionally focus a session on a dream theme, like dreams of loss or dreams of being blocked in some way, or dreams of death or birth. You might ask the members for their common dream themes and choose one that suits the majority. Another resource you could use to ring the changes while helping and educating the group about dreams is to choose an episode of the Dream Show. There are over 200 podcasts to choose from, and if you choose one featuring a guest exploring their dream with me, there's a lot of benefit in that. Ask the group to listen to the podcast before the session and begin the meeting by discussing the dream interpretation. This is where dream group meets book club or film club, perhaps. You might also break routine now and then and introduce an invited dream expert to a session to facilitate, to give a talk, or to answer questions. If you need one method to consistently return to, I suggest looking at a dream as a metaphor or analogy for what's going on in the dreamer's waking life at a conscious or unconscious level. When the dreamer can relate the dream to waking life, they have a strong starting point for exploration and insight, especially when supported by a wise and loving group. Finally, if you're thinking of starting a dream group and you're not trained in the art and science of working with dreams, you might like to do my self-paced online video-led course, How to Interpret Your Dreams Step by Step. It will give you the added tools and resources you'll find helpful. So I hope you're inspired to share your dreams more one way or another, and perhaps to take the plunge and start a dream group. So there was an essence of movement in that blog, which is why I read it out, because there were two things really. One was that the dream group I was talking about was at a time when I moved from the Gold Coast to Brisbane, you know, when they came up in the bus, and it kind of reminded me of that time of moving to Brisbane some 23 years ago, I think it was now. And we're just about on the verge of moving interstate again. And this is covered in the blog I'm about to read you, which I wrote in June 2018 this year. So there was a link there. And also with today's podcast, today's episode, there's an idea of moving forward in our lives. So perhaps you might be thinking of moving forward by establishing a dream group, for example, or by joining a dream group, or by learning more about dreams so that you can help other people with their dreams. So moving forward, here we go, my next blog, Change of Frame. Once upon a time, about 12 years ago, I bought new and rather edgy eyewear, quite different from the more or less transparent frames I had been wearing. I stepped out expecting comments from people who knew me well. "I love your jacket," several people said. while others asked if I'd changed my hairstyle, and almost everyone generally commented that I was looking really well. Now, I'd been wearing that jacket all winter and hadn't changed my hairstyle. Not one person mentioned my new glasses. I wondered if people were being polite, covering their surprise with a compliment that deflected from my frames. But no, when I pointed out that I had new spectacles, I could see from their responses that they hadn't noticed. What the change of frame had done for my friends was to highlight my jacket, my hair, and my skin tone. What the associated change of lenses had done for me was to help me see more clearly. When you work with your dreams, you discover the unconscious mental, emotional, and spiritual frames and lenses through which you see and respond to life. You may then decide to apply dream alchemy techniques to change that unconscious frame, to reframe, to shift perspective, and upgrade those unconscious lenses to gain more clarity. The overall effect, if you've chosen wisely, will be a more positive and meaningful life experience on every level, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. The old life, like the old jacket and the old hairstyle, will look quite different, glowing, healthy, revitalized. This all came to mind last week because I had my eyes tested and needed a new prescription. And since I've been wearing the same frames for several years, it really was time for a change. I loved those frames. It was hard to let go. But any day from now, when the new ones are ready, people may notice my new jacket, my hair, my health, or maybe even my new eyewear. There's an even bigger change of frame coming up for me this year, since we've decided to move from subtropical Brisbane, where I have lived for 23 years, to temperate Hobart. For those of you unfamiliar with Australia, this country is a very big continent spanning every climate from tropical to temperate. Hobart is the capital city of Tasmania, an island state off the southern coast of the continent, the next stop being the Antarctic. I have loved living in Brisbane, but we're over hot and humid summers and craving cooler weather, amongst the many other enticing blessings Tasmania offers. We chose November for the move for logistical reasons, but when I was reminiscing about eyewear and glasses, I remembered writing about my first pair of spectacles and a childhood recurring dream, so I looked up the article. It turns out that I wrote it for the very first issue of the original incarnation of my newsletter, Dreamsight News, 20 years ago, in November 1998. It seems appropriate to include it here. November 1998. I was intrigued by the team of white-coated people who arrived at our infant school 1 week, calling on each class in turn to line up outside the head's office and read letters from a chart propped against the wall. Special children came away with envelopes addressed to their parents. I was 5 years old, and I hoped I would be special enough to take home one of the envelopes. As the days passed, I heard that the visitors had come to test our eyesight, and that the letters were for those singled out to wear glasses. My wish escalated. Oh, wouldn't I be really special if Mum and Dad had to take me to choose glasses? I guess I must have wished pretty hard for a 5-year-old, because by the time I got to the front of the line, I couldn't even see the big letter at the top of the chart, and I've worn glasses or contact lenses ever since. It was a revelation to me a few weeks after taking home the precious envelope to discover that houses were made of bricks all the way up to their roofs, rather than being brick near the ground and then a kind of reddish smudge the rest of the way up. Trees grew leaves to replace the green clouds that had floated around them, and the night sky was neatly scattered with precise pinpoint designs instead of huge, glaring, intermingling white blurs. I wonder if it was then that my dreams opened stunning new vistas, worlds beyond worlds and worlds within worlds. My previous childhood dreams of being threatened by wolves or finding myself waist deep in snake pits gave way to a recurring dream of mirrored lakes, which, if I laid on the ground and looked sideways in a special way, revealed their hidden depths, teeming with tropical fish. In those dreams, I used to plead with everyone to look at the water in my special way, to take my sideways look at the magnificence that thrived below the surface of an English lake, where the presence of tropical fish, to the uninitiated, was merely a ridiculous fantasy. But no one ever looked. Now I can see, with or without the aid of my glasses, that in the same moment that I was a child, needing to feel special and loved for who I was beyond the surface, I needed to learn that the world did indeed have depth of meaning. My short sight became a blessing, enabling me to experience a different view, to see different perspectives, and to have faith that what may seem confusing one day can leap into clear focus the next. Through short sight, I learned insight. I learned to see within. Now, as I read out that old article from November, 20 years ago, I'm smiling at the reference to tropical fish too, you know, because I've just told you that we're about to move from subtropical Brisbane back to the temperate climes in Hobart. There are people, places and things about Brisbane that I will miss, and some letting go to be done. When I was in the eyewear shop looking for new frames, I noticed a current trend for a certain style that I wore when I was about 10 years old, and then again when I was in my mid-30s. The third revival has come around, but I'm not going there. All of the styles and trends I've worn throughout the years flash before my eyes, as do memories, perspectives, and lessons learned as we sort through our garage looking letting go of so much stuff to lighten our load for the move. A mirror of dream work, really. So lots of letting go happening. And actually, between writing that blog in June 2018 and now, only a few weeks later, reading it out to you in this podcast, there's been a lot of stuff gone from the garage already. There's been a lot of cupboards gone through, a lot of drawers gone through, a lot of stuff gone to make our move much lighter. And not only is that physical, but mental, emotional and spiritual too. But I've still got to face a lot of letting go of friends and things that I like doing here. But I know that it's going to be to move to exciting new things. So continuing with moving and changing, I'm now going to read you a blog that I wrote also last month in June 2018 called Yin Yang Cats. A large grey cat lounged on the couch, dozing, lazing, generally blissing out, when suddenly a small, sprightly white cat leapt up from nowhere in vicious attack. She, for I think she was a she, dragged him, for I think he was a him, off the couch, and they rolled across the floor, belly to belly, locked in blood-drawn combat, and looking very much like a yin-yang symbol. It was at the point where I recognised the yin-yang symbol that I woke up from my dream, feeling discomforted about the sudden attack, but as curious as a cat with nine lives about the symbol. It was easy for me to relate to the large grey cat, as I had determined to take several days off work and had been enjoying lounging, dozing, lazing and generally blissing out. The labouring side of my work, perhaps the male side, the reasoning, the structuring, the business, the paperwork, had been intense and had left me feeling rather brain-drained. Rest and recovery was required. That explains the gender of the grey cat, and perhaps his size. Reclining on the couch, he was a very happy cat, soaking up the rest, stretching out in delight at simply being. A few days into my rest, I was beginning to feel my energy return, enticing creative sparks firing here and there in my brain. An idea for a book, two ideas for blogs, and various creative home projects bubbled up for consideration. It was very tempting to get off the couch and start creating, but I knew I needed longer to restore more sustainably. Why a grey cat? When I dialogued with the cat, a dream alchemy practice, I discovered he was really as black as night, a time for resting and dreaming, but the grey was some of the light showing through, an indication of recovery, of the renewal and energy morning brings. But he still needed time out. He was still, essentially, in black cat mode. In my dream, conflict ensued. There was an energy in the shape of a small, white, sprightly female cat that sprang from nowhere in vicious attack. Now that we know something about the grey cat, we can see that this energetic little bundle represented my female side, the creative, holistic, big picture perspective, awake to the inner world. She was the creative spark I was beginning to feel after my several days of rest, and she was feeling vicious about being denied in favour of more resting days on the couch, especially after being kept in check through several weeks of male side brain work. My reasoning male side said, recover fully, re-energise completely, while my creative female side screamed, no, get off that couch. My dream cats reflected the inner conflict I was feeling at this time. I'm here to tell you that Mr. Reasoning Grey Cat, by virtue of his greater size, ruled the following few days, until Ms. Sparky White Cat grew to such proportion that my fingers hit the keyboard and the new creative projects began, all the better for the rest. Mr. Reasoning Grey Cat emerged from hibernation much lighter in size and colour, and the last time I envisaged them, the two cats were much the same size, nestled together, belly to belly, in perfect yin-yang balance. Oh, I've missed out a little bit of the story. Many dreams highlight our inner conflicts, and there are many techniques you can learn to help you look into dreams to identify these. The next step after identifying an inner conflict is to explore the rest of the dream until you understand the origins of the conflict and why the conflict is currently unresolved. Suitably enlightened, you may then choose to do some dream alchemy to persuade your unconscious mind toward resolving the powerfully unconscious aspects of the conflict. In my case, I chose to visualize the two cats in the yin-yang combat transform into a more peaceful, mutually supportive yin-yang embrace, resizing the cats to bring them into perfect balance. Now, there are other elements you need to bring in to perform dream alchemy, but this suffices to illustrate the point. My unconscious mind reciprocated, and everything naturally unfolded peacefully from there. As I'm sure you know already, if you look closely at a yin-yang symbol and see it as two tadpoles or two fish, you'll notice that the black one has a white eye, and the white one has a black eye. At their head ends, where their energies are at their full extreme, each nestles a speck of the other. And at the tail end, the black one's tail gets thinner and thinner until it gives way to the white head of the other, and vice versa. Yin and yang stay in perfect balance by each yielding to the other at their extremes, maintaining equilibrium in size and shape. So when you're out of whack, out of balance, your dreams can alert you to the subtleties of your inner conflicts, and dream alchemy can assist in resolving those conflicts to smooth the way for transformation on all levels. So the point of choosing that blog to read out to you today in the and when we're talking about movement and change, is that often on the verge of change is when we can identify in our dreams an inner conflict of some kind, you know, where you're actually kind of stuck from moving forward because there's this conflict which is keeping you locked, in this case with maybe the two cats locked into conflict and fighting as to whether I should stay on the couch and rest or get off the couch and get, you know, get moving with my work. So if you find conflict in a dream and you address it, then you'll find that you move forward in life and things change for you, and that's of course is a good thing. If you find conflict in your dream and you don't address it, you know, it may symbolize ongoing conflict. People can be locked in conflict for years or for a lifetime. So it can be very advantageous to know how to look into a dream for signs of inner conflict, to recognize what they are in your life, and then to assist resolution of that conflict using dream alchemy so you can move forward. So, you know, that's the sense in which that yin-yang dream was showing you an example of working with a dream to move forward in many ways and to embrace change. And I also chose it because it came up at a time of working really, really hard on a lot of things in order to make our move to Tasmania easier in the long run. And I have a sense that there might be a bit more of that to do, kind of working hard and moving and packing at the same time. But in light of all of that and bringing us round to the beginning of today's show, where we were talking about running dream groups, and I was suggesting to you that there are many ways of running dream groups, the whole range from simply seeing it as a regular way to get into sort of for people who are interested in dreams to get together and share them and talk about them in much the same way as we probably did thousands of years ago, you know, whether or not we were experts in understanding dreams, just using it as an opportunity to talk about our dreams and maybe help each other to explore them or just enjoy the sense of sharing dreams, all the way through to running a dream group if you're qualified in understanding dreams and working at that end. The whole gamut of running dream groups along that line. And I thought because of that, and because I also mentioned earlier in today's podcast that you might like to go online and maybe learn some dream techniques yourself, I thought I would read out some testimonials from people that have done my courses at the Dream Academy, so that for those of you that haven't yet enrolled over there to do courses might get a bit enthused. So I'm going to read out about five testimonials before finishing today's show. So this one is from Shona Jenkins, and she said, "I really enjoyed this course, How to Interpret Your Dreams Step by Step, and got so much out of it. I loved the face-to-face feeling with your videos, as well as the very thorough notes. As a long-term sufferer of painful, emotional, and physiological responses to intense dreams and nightmares, I can't tell you how much you have helped me to understand my dreams and life patterns, as well as helping me to receive more gentle messages in my sleep, and I now hope to help others." So with Shauna, that's an example of someone that's done the course and is in fact stepping out to help others understand their dreams in various ways. Here's another one from Kim Teodori, who's a vibrational sound therapist working in the USA. And she has a website called Tuning Insight. And she said, "All three of your courses were wonderful." Oh, that's right. Kim did How to Interpret Your Dreams Step by Step. Then she did Dream Alchemy. And then she did Dream Therapy Professional Level 1. And she says, "All three of your courses were wonderful. It's amazing how simple but powerful your techniques are. My clients and I have experienced truly transformational results. I already had a copy of your Dream Alchemy book, which I read and enjoyed, but the additional videos and fieldwork were rewarding and fun. I'm so glad I found you and your work." This one's from Tim, who is in the Netherlands, Tim Hupkes, and she says, "The course, How to Interpret Your Dreams Step by Step, has brought me so much important information. I always found indispensable clues with the help of Jane Teresa's ebooks, blog, and podcast, but the course has definitely deepened my understanding. I love it removing all blocks one by one has been made a fun and very effective job. And here's one from Barbara Courtille, who is an artist and yoga instructor living in Australia. And Barbara says, "What I like about how to interpret your dreams step by step is that there are very clear instructions to guide you along the way. And in that process, you were able to uncover the more obscure meaning of your dreams. Jane Teresa's approach is very practical, and she's able to show you how your dreams relate to your everyday life, including important information which may not be apparent to the dreamer. You will learn so much from these teachings, and it's also a lot of fun and something that you will be able to use forever." Two more. This one's from Rachel, who works from the Foreign Service Diplomat in the US, in the USA. Sorry, she is a Foreign Service Diplomat in the USA. And she says, "I'm halfway through the course, How to Interpret Your Dreams Step by Step. I wish this was around when I was in my early 30s and turning to those snake oil dream dictionaries. The pace is excellent, it's clear and concise, and I highly recommend it to anyone interested in dreams. Thank you for creating this." And lastly, from Caroline Tarrant, who's a student living in England. And Caroline says, "I loved the simplicity of the How to Interpret Your Dreams step-by-step course, the gentle nature and the friendliness. Your videos are smiley and very informative, and I delight in the bird song in the background. I wondered if they were your birds or just Australian outside birds. The course is easy for people to do in their own time, in their own way. I did it at quiet moments at work, but I equally didn't want to rush it. So for each technique I learned, I liked to sleep on it and absorb it and to test it in the world. And when it had sunk in, come back and learn the next bit. I love the people technique and the having the conversation technique with the symbols in your dream. Brilliant." So I hope those testimonials might inspire you to go and have a look at the course yourself. I'm just smiling a bit at Caroline's testimonial there, where she's talking about the birds. We did have a fair bit of bird song in some of the videos in that course. And even with all the windows and doors closed, there are some birds, particularly the butcher birds in Queensland, that are beautiful singers and very, very resonant and very vibrant. And their sound came right through the glass and into the videos. And when we listened to the videos afterwards, we thought, oh, that's really nice, actually. We'll just keep those in. But no, I don't have caged birds at home. And when we move to Tasmania, there will be lots of lovely birds, and they will be quite different. They won't be subtropical birds, they'll be temperate birds. So as a bird lover, I've got all that to look forward to as well. If you'd like to look at some of those courses or do some of those courses, the way to get there quickly is to go to the Dream Academy website, which is dream-academy-online.com, and you can read about all the courses, you can enroll for the courses, and you can get your login and password, and you can do the courses. And then you've got all that information to go anywhere between just enjoy doing the course, have all the techniques to understand all of your own dreams, or to work with people, or to run a dream group, or to become a dream therapist. Your lists are endless. Or you can go to my other website, which is janeteresa.com, that's Teresa without an H, which will also lead you to the Dream Academy and will also take you through my own services as a dream therapist, as a mentor, and will of course give you access to hundreds of blogs, free blogs that you can read, and of course every dream show, every podcast that's ever been recorded, you can listen to through my website at janeteresa.com, as well as always the last 10 are on iTunes. You can also find me on social media, primarily Facebook and the one I love the most, Instagram. So I think that's all for now. It's probably time we had a guest on the show. So if you'd like to be a guest on the Dream Show and you'd like to come on anonymously or not anonymously, and you'd like to share your dream and receive my help with understanding your dream and share all of that with our listeners, the way to do that is to go to janeteresa.com, click on the menu under podcasts, and you'll see on the drop-down box how to be a guest on the show. It is, of course, something you volunteer to do, And your volunteering is greatly and deeply appreciated by everyone who listens to the show and learns about you through your dream, even though you remain anonymous, and learns the tools and techniques that you can use to approach your dreams so that they can use them in their own lives. So our next episode, I'm shuffling my bits of paper here. Oh, this is the right piece of paper. I've got it. I've found it. The next episode, episode 207, will come out on the 17th of August, 2018, if you're listening to this in real time. And if you're listening to this because you've been going back and back through all these amazing podcasts and you've come across this one now in 2018, well, I wonder what the year is that you're listening. I know I'll be living in Hobart, Tasmania by then, and I wonder, all sorts of wonderful things will have happened to all of us by then. Enjoy your dreams. I know I'll be speaking with some of you between now and then, and otherwise I'll speak to you again in August 2018. Have a wonderful month. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.